Luke chapter number 4, and I'm going to just try to be obedient to what the Lord wants me to do tonight. And I was thinking today and trying to look over some stuff and just didn't have any liberty to go anywhere else. And tonight, I don't normally do anything like this, and I guess I ought to just mind the Lord instead of quit trying to just explain things. But tonight, I kind of want to look at something in connection with what we looked at last Wednesday, whenever we dealt with that Jubilee text in Leviticus 25. And if you remember, we read this text in your hearing to accompany the message. And really, I guess, just want to kind of give you a part two. And I'll just give you some things that are on my heart tonight concerning this. But I just want to obey the Lord. And I want you to go to Luke chapter number 4 tonight. And I want to look in verse number 13 tonight. That's where we'll begin our reading. It kind of lets you know where we're at in the text and in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very early on in His life and ministry. As a matter of fact, I really feel like this, outside of His baptism, kind of begins His public ministry here in the synagogue. But I want to look in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 13 tonight. The Bible says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a famine of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were here in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for God, everything that has been said and done, Lord, in this service tonight. And Lord, we know and we trust and we understand, Lord, that you're moving in our church. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, God, to seize every opportunity to do what you would have us to do, Lord, to be right with you as individuals, Lord, to be right with you as families, Lord, to be right with you as a church tonight. And God, help us, Lord, tonight, like these people in Nazareth, Lord, they missed your blessing, they missed your working, they missed your touch, because they despised you. And I pray, Lord, that we would not despise you. I pray, Lord, that we would not despise Lord, prophesying as the Word of God says. I pray that we would love you and that we would love your Word. I pray, Lord, that we would love the preaching of your Word. And I pray, Lord, that we would give you the preeminence in our heart and our life. And God, may we see true and lasting revival in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we know that no man will bring it. God, we know that no movement can accomplish it. But Lord, you can do it tonight. And I pray that you would, and I trust that you want to, Lord. And I ask you, God, that your will would be accomplished, Lord, that you'd be glorified, and Lord, that you would help our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to return unto you, to repent, to get right, whatever it is that we need to do. I pray, Lord, that we would be fully reconciled, Lord, that we would be in full fellowship with you, and Lord, that there would be nothing between our hearts and the Savior tonight. Lord, we ask it tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. I'm interested tonight in Luke chapter number 4 in connection with what we talked about last time in Leviticus chapter number 25. If you remember, we kind of showed you in that message how that the Lord Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise of the Jubilee. Those shadows and those types and those pictures, of course, have all of their fulfillment and their culmination in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we consider this text in light of that, you'll notice he stands up and he reads Isaiah chapter number 61. And he says the things that he says concerning that text. And verse number 19 says this, that he to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the fulfillment of that year of Jubilee that looked ahead to that eternal promise of rest. Whenever we consider the Jubilee tonight, the Jubilee brought everything back to a restored condition, brought it back to the way that God intended it to be. Man was in bondage and man was serving in servitude. That was not God's will for him. It was God's will for man to be free, to enjoy the blessings of God. You also notice that debts were forgiven. Men were strapped and bound down by the debt that they had built up and acquired on behalf of someone else or some possession tonight. And that's not God's will tonight. Amen. For us to be bound down and to be indebted to any other man. As a matter of fact, I understand the world we live in, but the Bible clearly tells us tonight that we are to owe no man. We are to make restitution and we are to be free from that bondage and free from those things where, as much as possible, where it's necessary in our life. But Jesus comes and he reads this text. And he expounds upon this idea of this Jubilee, and he stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth that day, and he declares that he has been anointed, or he has been set aside and selected for the specific purpose to preach tonight. Amen. And we're familiar tonight with Jesus Christ as our Creator. Paul told the church at Colossae that all things were made by Him and all things were made for Him. And we understand that it was Christ who framed this world by the Word of God tonight. Amen. Everything was made by Him and everything was made for Him. And He is the reason for all of this. He is the culmination of it all. And so tonight we could say that we know Jesus Christ as our Creator tonight. Amen. And we know Jesus Christ, thank God, as our Savior, and not just our Savior only, but the Savior of the world. He is the Christ, the Son of God. Peter said those words and confessed those words to our Lord. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I pray tonight that you not only know Jesus Christ as the Creator of this world, but I hope that you know Jesus Christ as the Savior of your soul tonight. Amen. There are several things that we could say about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm interested here in this fourth chapter of Luke. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus comes and he goes to church, as we would say. He goes to the synagogue that day on the Sabbath, and he stands up and he reads the Word of God, and he tells them in their hearing by the Word of God that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and that God had anointed him to preach. Amen. We're familiar tonight with Jesus as the Creator, and we are familiar tonight with the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But for a few moments tonight, I want to look at Jesus the preacher tonight. Amen. Jesus the preacher. Understand that that's exactly what Jesus was tonight. Amen. The world tries to put Christ in a box, and they try to talk about Jesus historically, that he was a teacher. And what that means to the liberal world is that he spoke in a quiet and a monotone voice. He really put up with sin, and he didn't bat an eye at the sins of society and the sins of the world, but really the biblical Christ, and when we look at our Savior biblically tonight, that couldn't be any farther from the truth. Amen. You remember when Jesus went in there in the temple when they were guilty of extortion, they were robbing people, charging them for their sacrifices there in the temple. You remember that the Lord Jesus Christ drove them out. As a matter of fact, he made a cord of whips when he did that. And I would venture to say tonight that he did not use his inside voice when he was doing that. Amen. But listen tonight, Jesus was a man and Jesus was masculine tonight and Jesus was everything that God wanted him to be. As a matter of fact, tonight, Jesus Christ is man on the ideal level tonight. Amen. Everything that God designed man to be and desires for man to be, you find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the Lord tells them, and he reads the text, that he had been anointed to preach, that he had been selected for this specific purpose to come and to preach tonight. I have quoted this before, but Brother Tom Farrell wrote a great book on preaching, and the book is wonderful and it's great, but there's just one quote that has stood out to me and it has stuck with me for years after reading that book. And here's what he said. He said that God only had one son and he made him a preacher. Amen. God only had one son and he made him a preacher. Boy, the world makes fun of preaching. Paul even said that the world views preaching as foolishness tonight. And I understand that a lot of people, maybe we've even done that to ourselves. The TV preachers have given the ministry and given preachers a bad name. But I'm telling you, God had one son and he made him a preacher. You want to know what God thinks about preaching tonight? Listen, I'm telling you, you read the book of the Revelation and you see the foundation of that great city that's coming down out of heaven. Here's what John saw. He saw that the foundation of that city, written in that foundation were the names of the 12 apostles. Amen. God is building a holy city and God is preparing a holy city, and the foundation of that city is built upon preaching tonight. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, thank God for the preached word of God. Amen. I'm not telling you tonight that somebody's got to hear preaching tonight in order to be saved. I understand we can witness to them on their doorstep, but I'm telling you, listen, Jesus was anointed for that purpose tonight, and whether you're witnessing to somebody at the store or whether we're preaching in the pulpit or whether we're teaching a Sunday school class, I'm telling you, we cannot do it outside of the power of God and outside of the anointing tonight. And Jesus being our divine example, he stood up in the synagogue that day and he declared unto them that he had been anointed to preach. Amen. And so he preaches this message of salvation and deliverance in connection with that year of Jubilee. And so this message that Jesus preaches, I'm interested in looking what he had to say tonight. And I'm going to give you four or five things and then we're going to be done tonight. And I want to just be a help to you tonight. Amen. Just straightforward, practical preaching. But Jesus preaches this message and Jesus is anointed and sanctified and set apart to preach to a specific crowd. Amen. And you'll find that there were five groups in the text that we read tonight that Jesus is preaching to. And by the way, this encompasses all of humanity tonight. Jesus was not sent to just some specific group or some elect crowd. Listen, if you get saved by the grace of God and you are in the body of Christ, you are elect tonight. Amen. That is how that works. Amen. But Jesus is preaching this message, and this message spans throughout the entirety of all humanity. First of all, I want you to see this, that Jesus, the preacher, preaches his message, number one, to the bankrupt. Amen. He preaches to the bankrupt. Notice what he said in verse number 18. The Bible said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor tonight." Amen. Jesus comes preaching to the spiritually bankrupt. Now that crowd that he had read the word of God to, and that crowd that he was preaching to, understand, they had their religion, they had their rabbi, they even had the word of God. The scroll of the word of God was presented to the Lord Jesus Christ as he stood there in the synagogue, and he preached. But what he wanted them to understand, and what we come to find out later in the chapter, is they wanted to kill him for who he declared himself to be. And what he read to them concerning that day, they were spiritually poor and they were spiritually bankrupt. And their only remedy for that is that they needed to see that tonight. Amen. But listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are born into this world, and we are born stricken into spiritual poverty tonight. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said in his Sermon on the Mount. You remember these words. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Amen. Those that are spiritually poor can see their need of Christ. Amen. What we need to realize tonight is we may have the wealth of this world. We may have more than what others have. But what we really need to understand is to move forward with God and to really be and have what God wants us to have. We need to realize that we are spiritually poor. We are spiritually bankrupt tonight. Amen. But listen, those in high society rarely ever see their need for Christ. Well, you go out and Chattanooga's full of nice homes and Ford O and Ringgold and Chickamauga. Boy, you can go out and you can see some nice places, and they've got the boat and the truck, and they've got all the trinkets, they've got the property. And really, sometimes, well, you can drive on some of these back roads, you can kind of be envious of what some of these people have. But you ever try to go on knock on somebody's door like that, they'll slam the door in your face. They'll tell you they're not interested. Amen. And it's very difficult to try to get somebody like that to see their need for Christ. But if you go over here somewhere, maybe James Street, and go to the trailer park, and well, they got all the trash out in the yard, and I'm telling you, the kids look like they hadn't been bathed, and I'm telling you, you can smell the marijuana just driving by that place. And were you to go and knock on somebody like that's door, you ain't got to tell them how sorry and low down they are. You don't have to tell them what poor estate they're in. They know where they're at in life, and sometimes it's just a whole lot easier to give the gospel and bring somebody to a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ in a place like that than it is in some place of nobility or some place of well-to-do or some place where people have money. You know what we need to realize? Just like those that are down and out, just like those that are downcast, just like that day and hour when we got saved by the marvelous grace of God, hey, we saw that we were insufficient. We saw our bankruptcy. We saw our spiritual poverty, and we knew and understood that God had what we needed. And thank God we were able to junk our pride and realize that Christ was the answer. And thank God, listen to me, He who was rich became poor for our sakes, that we might be made rich. He that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Isaiah said that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. You know what Isaiah prophesied about? He prophesied about the divine transaction of salvation. Amen. Thank God, listen, it was our wounds, His wounds, and our unrighteousness that we traded for His holiness and His righteousness and His perfection. And I'm glad, thank God, that I had good sense enough one day to realize that I had a need, and that need was Christ. And I may not have a full bank account. I may not have everything that I want. I may not have the big house and the big truck. And I may not have what I envy from others. But I'm rich tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm rich in the Lord Jesus. Amen. I was bankrupt, and He came to where I was. Amen. As the old songwriter said, I went down a beggar, but I came up a millionaire. Amen. Nobody'd sing that around here. I love that song. Amen. Thank God He became poor for our sakes, that we might be made rich in Him. Amen. He came and preached to the bankrupt. Secondly, He not only came and preached to the bankrupt, but He came and preached to the brokenhearted. Look what He goes on to say in verse number 18. He said, "Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Amen. That word brokenhearted tonight, if you look it up, it implies that which has been crushed or shattered tonight. Amen. I'm glad that He is an affectionate Savior. Amen. I'm glad that He always dealt with the sin problem, but He always gave the remedy tonight. Amen. The Lord Jesus didn't just come and stick His finger in the face of those that were in sin and leave them in the condition that they were in. There was always an out. There was always a pathway of repentance. There was always an opportunity for grace and mercy to be imparted and to be enjoyed by the individual. And Jesus knows how we feel. He can relate with the human condition. He knows what it is to be crushed, and He knows what it is to be shattered. He knows what it is to experience the wrath of God and to have the weight of sin poured out upon Him. For He experienced that at the cross of Calvary. He knows what it is to be forsaken by His Father. And listen to me, if we just had one word that could sum up the human experience, I think it would be brokenhearted. Amen. There are people that are living in this day and hour that are brokenhearted. Amen. They are misguided. They are walking in lies. They are not living in the truth. They are down and out. They are outcast tonight, and they have a great need, and their need is Christ, but they are brokenhearted because sin has shattered their lives. Sin has crushed them, and the reason that they do the things that they do, the reason that they go to drugs, and the reason that they go to the liquor and the alcohol, and the reason that they go and try to fill that void in their heart and life, is because their lives are shattered and they are enemies with God, and they do not know His love tonight, and they are brokenhearted, and they stand in need of Christ tonight. Amen. But those are the kind of individuals that Christ has an affinity for, and that He has affection for tonight. Amen. Not the proud. Jesus said, listen, them that are whole, they need not a physician, but them that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Listen, do you see your need for Christ tonight? He said in Psalms chapter number 34 and verse number 18, He said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Amen. That word contrite means to be crushed tonight. Amen. Listen, sin is the great heartbreaker. Sin is the great divider. Sin destroys marriages, and it destroys lives, and it destroys homes. Amen. And thank God He has come to heal the brokenhearted tonight. Amen. He knows how you feel. He knows what it is to have his heart shattered. He knows what it is to feel all alone. And Jesus Christ experienced those things so that you would never have to experience them in their fullness. Never knowing what it is to be separated from God. Never knowing what it is to be alienated from God and His divine nature tonight. Amen. Thank God we'll be in His presence, because Jesus came to where we were and He preached the message of the gospel to the poor. And thank God He has the power and the ability to heal the brokenhearted tonight. Amen. You have a broken heart. You have a wounded spirit tonight. Amen. Jesus can help you with that. He can fix what's wrong in your life. And we've heard it said time and time again, for everything that's wrong in our life, thank God Jesus is the answer. And for everything that's wrong in our life, Jesus is right tonight. Amen. And so Jesus comes and He preaches to the bankrupt. He comes and He preaches to the brokenhearted. But then He comes and He preaches to those in bondage. Look what He goes on to say there again in verse number 18. He said He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Amen. Deliverance to the captives. That word captives carries the meaning of a prisoner of war tonight. Amen. We all know what that is. Two opposing sides. Two different ideologies. They are opposing one another. Sometimes there are casualties, but sometimes there are those that are caught up. They're taken prisoner. They're used for leverage and used for politics and used as bargaining chips tonight. Amen. But Jesus has come to set the captive free. Amen. Listen, we were fallen. We were in bondage because of what Adam did, how Adam condescended in sin in that likeness of of Eve. Thank God, listen, He plunged us into a world of sin, but thank God the Lord Jesus Christ has come to set us free, to deliver us tonight. Amen. We were cursed and we were imprisoned because of sin. Man lost his dominion and man lost his authority. But I think we said it last week. Listen, everything that Adam lost, it has been restored in Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. One of these days, this old curse will be lifted off of this world. One of these days, we will be able to rest from all our toil and all our labor. Thank God. Listen, when we got saved, the chains fell off. We were no longer in bondage. We were set free tonight. Amen. And sin binds us up. Sin holds us captive. When we were lost, we were slaves to sin tonight. Amen. Didn't have the capacity to love God. Didn't have the capacity to serve God. We did those things because we had to. But here's what Paul said. He said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Amen. Thank God we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were subject to the prince of the power of the air. But thank God, God, who is rich in mercy, He loved us with such a great love. Amen. He delivered us from the bondage of sin tonight. And Jesus preaches to the bankrupt. He preaches to the brokenhearted. He preaches to those in bondage. I want to give you these two and we're going to be done tonight. He preaches to the blind tonight. Amen. Look at what he said again in verse number 18. He said to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. What's he talking about tonight? Of course, we know and we understand that he's talking about the miracles that he would perform in his ministry that were indicators that he was the Messiah to fulfill those scriptures and did the things that the Messiah would do. But it goes beyond that tonight. Amen. It goes beyond just physical blindness that Bartimaeus was delivered from. But I believe with all my heart, Bartimaeus was not only delivered from physical blindness, but he was delivered from spiritual blindness. And that is what Christ has come to do. Thank God that through the day when the light shined in our heart and our life. Amen. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. He's given us that light. But when Jesus comes to this crowd here in Nazareth, Jesus preaches to them. Jesus gives them this scripture. Jesus tells them very plainly and very directly and forwardly that He Himself is the fulfillment of this scripture. And you know what they do? When He expounds and He gives those examples and He talks about those Old Testament characters and all of those different things, they rise up. They want to thrust Him not only out of the synagogue, but they want to thrust Him out of the city. And they want to take Him up to a cliff and push Him off headlong and kill Him and get rid of Him. Listen, they didn't want to do that because of the miracles He performed. They didn't want to do that because He would give sight to the blind. They didn't want to do that tonight because that He would cleanse the leper. Listen, they did that and they had that attitude tonight because of His preaching. And can I tell you tonight, if you reject God's messenger and you reject God's message, then you will not be a recipient of God's mercy tonight. You can't be at odds with the Word of God and, you know, this mixed up theology and this idea that we can be separated from the Word of God and be separated from the things that Christ loves, but yet we're joined to Christ Himself. It doesn't work like that, friend. Listen, I'm telling you, the Messiah and the message, the Word of God and the Spirit of God go hand in hand. Listen, everything that this book says about the Lord Jesus Christ, I just believe tonight you have to believe that to be saved. You're not denying the virgin birth and being saved tonight. Amen. You're not denying a visible bodily resurrection and being saved tonight. You are not denying the sinless incarnation and the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the vicarious suffering of our Savior, simply meaning He died for me and as me. You're not denying those things and being saved. That's a liberal way of thinking. Amen. That is modernistic theology, and that is separate from the Word of God tonight. Amen. But He's come to make those that are blind see. But He comes and He preaches to this place where He grew up, the place of His boyhood, and they hate Him because of it. They desire to cast Him out. Why wouldn't they receive the light concerning who he was? Why wasn't the Word of God able to open up their eyes tonight? Listen, the fact of the matter is there is no great theological explanation for this. They didn't see him for who he was because they did not want to. Well, I've got this problem, and you know, my heart leads me to do this, and I understand that. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. But the fact of the matter is tonight is you and me do the things we want to do. Amen. It's not brother so-and-so's fault. It's not sister so-and-so's fault. It's not my environment. I do the things I want to do because I want to do them. And the things that I don't want to do, I don't do them. And really, it's as simple as that tonight. Amen. God knows our heart, and our heart is revealed by our actions. I don't want to run a rabbit. I don't want to get off on anything tonight. But there's a whole lot of stuff we just make excuses for tonight. Amen. A whole lot of people we just make excuses for tonight. When the fact of the matter is it is a heart issue. The heart of the matter has always been the matter of the heart tonight. Amen. He comes to preach to the blind. He comes to preach to the bruised. He said there in the latter part of verse number 18, recovering sight of the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Whenever you think about that Old Testament Jubilee, would free a man from his debts. That Old Testament Jubilee would cause the shackles to fall off and that man be expunged from that sentence, that life of servitude that he was serving. That year of Jubilee would allow a man to settle down and rest and enjoy the benefits of his harvest tonight. But whenever you read about that Jubilee, all of those things are physical and it stops there. And what that shows us tonight is the Old Testament could only do so much. The Old Testament law could only bring an individual so much. There was only so much blessing that was involved until it met its cap and it met the line and it had to stop there. But what Jesus does is he comes in and he reads this text out of the book of Isaiah chapter number 61 here in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18. And he declares unto them that he is the fulfillment of that scripture. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us tonight that Jesus came to preach to the bankrupt. We saw those debts forgiven with that old jubilee. Those that were brokenhearted, those that were separated because of that servitude, separated because of that life of service. We saw that mended in the Old Testament Jubilee. Those that were in bondage, those that were delivered. We saw that in that Old Testament Jubilee. But when Jesus goes further in the text, and I don't read anywhere in Leviticus chapter number 25 or anywhere else where that Jubilee made a blind man see. I don't read anywhere else in that text where the Jubilee caused a man who was bruised to be healed up. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you tonight and what I'm trying to show you tonight is that Jesus Christ went farther than what the law did. Amen. The law could only go so far. That Old Testament could only go so far. But the law where it was weak and the law with what it could not do. Thank God grace picked up the torch and grace finished the job tonight. Hey, you know what that law will do tonight? It'll show you that you're a lost and unbound, unworthy, hellbound sinner, and that's all it can show you tonight. The buck stops there. Oh, but I'm glad tonight that when Jesus showed up on the scene, he didn't just tell me I was lost, but he gave me the remedy. He didn't just show me I was a sinner, but he carried that sin all the way to Calvary, and he paid it off, and he took care of it tonight. Well, I'm glad that what the law can't do, Jesus accomplished tonight, and he finished the job, and he cried out on the cross, "It is finished tonight." Amen. The work's done. What the law could not accomplish, he fulfilled it, and he accomplished it in his flesh. And he died for you, and he died for me, and he died as me, and he died as you. He paid our sin debt in full. And he didn't just do that, but he willingly died, gave up the ghost. He laid down his life of his own account. I understand what Peter was saying in the book of Acts, but did nobody kill him? He laid down his life freely and willingly for you. so that you wouldn't have to live in sin, so that you wouldn't have to live in bondage, so that you could be right with God and that heaven could be your home and you would not have to wait until eternity to enjoy the blessings of God. You can enjoy the trip now. We've got liberty now. We've got peace now. We've got joy now. We're forgiven now. Amen. Now, I understand we're waiting on the redemption of the body, but our soul and spirit is as saved as we're ever going to be tonight. And it's about time we enjoyed that. Amen. It's about time we took advantage of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So you're living in bondage tonight. Is your life a vicious cycle? Getting right with God and falling back into sin, and getting right with God and falling back into sin, and getting right with God and falling back into sin, and there's absolutely no victory in your life. Can I tell you that is not the will of God tonight? And listen, I'm not trying to tell you something that's not hard. Sometimes it's difficult to live for the Lord. Amen. Everybody wants to act like it's so easy all the time. We fight this stuff, don't we? But we can have victory every single day that we live. Do you have it tonight? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking hand in hand with Jesus? As they sing, why don't we stand tonight?